Are you ready to shed those fearful, worrisome thoughts and live a more joy-filled life? From the heart of her critically acclaimed book, Starving Your Fears, author and PhD Joyce Logan is passionate about helping you to live the life you desire with wisdom, empathy, and laughter. Dr. Joyce suffered severe panic attacks and agoraphobia for many years and is living proof that anyone can choke off the lifeline of fearful negative thoughts and words that will not only bring immediate relief, but lifelong joy and peace. Changing the way you look at things will change everything. Join Joyce now.
Hi, welcome to my show. I'm Joyce Logan, and you're listening to Starving Your Fears, a show that will melt away your fears by focusing on the power of your mind to overcome, well, just about anything. Your life becomes what you feed your mind. Listen every day at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Every Friday on Dream Vision 7 Radio. You can listen online, mobile devices, in your car, just ask Alexa. To learn more, for a full schedule, go to dreamvision7radio.com. Dream Vision 7 Radio Network is the media partner for the Omega Institute. For more information about me, just go to joycelogan.com. Hey, and I'm excited to share my special guest with you today. Stephen Kellogg. Stephen is a Grammy-nominated American singer, songwriter, and author who has toured worldwide and named Armed Forces Entertainer of the Year. Stephen is a TEDx speaker and has a documentary about his music travels called Last Man Standing on Amazon Prime. His new book, Objects in the Mirror, Thoughts on a Perfect Life from an Imperfect Person, is part humor, part memoir, and part self-help. Most of all, Stephen Kellogg is a storyteller, singer, connects with each audience in a very profound way. Welcome, Stephen Kellogg.
Hi, Joyce. How are you?
I'm doing well. And I just want to share, before we get into everything, I was blessed enough to be at one of your virtual concerts. Stephen, is that around 2 hours or more?
Yeah, when we started, they were shorter because we weren't sure what people's, how it would go. But as they've kind of, as we've gotten more comfortable, and so I think they're now starting to go a good hour and 45, I would say.
Well, I think that the reason why I'm bringing that up, because I remember looking at the clock and thinking, oh my gosh, I've been on for 2 hours listening. Truly, it felt like 20 minutes.
Oh, that's
it really did. And for the amount of time, for those, whatever, 1 hour, 45 minutes, 2 hours, I felt like my brain went on a vacation.
Mm.
It was a real respite. It was music. It was storytelling. It was your life. And you do a different show every single time. So can you please tell our listeners about your virtual concerts?
Yeah, well, you know, so I have this book that you just mentioned, and it comes out in July everywhere. And we knew we were going to do this little book tour to kind of wind up to it and start putting them out. And when everything that's going on happened, and we suddenly realized, wow, you know, we've been building up to this for a couple of years to release this book, and we really didn't want it to go away. So kind of went right into how could we do a virtual concert that would not feel like a step down, you know, that would feel like something you would never get to do at a normal show. And so most of what's happening on that show was born out of a sense of how do we make this amazing for people? How do we make it feel like their favorite show they've seen, you know? And so we developed all these things. You know, we do the roll call at the beginning where we say everybody's name and thank
them. I love
them.
That you do that. That
I
was,
love it too. It makes me feel people, you know?
Yes.
And then I started having guests and, you know, and realizing I wanted to share some of these neat relationships that I have and sort of demonstrate that real connection and friendships are continuing to go on even in these physically distant times, you know? Mm-hmm. And, And now I guess we just did our 26th show in like, you know, 35 days or something. I mean, it's a lot of work. And it has kept me, you know, when people tag me in like the no carb challenge, I'm like, I'm doing the virtual tour challenge right now. I'm just going to do that. But it has been also, I feel so lucky to be working, to have my crew who helps me with the show is all working from their houses. And we've been all, you know, it's been a really special tour, one of the most unforgettable I think I've ever had.
And your virtual tour, I mean, when you go to a different state or a city or a country, you make it about that, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like you're there. I thought you were actually in Minnesota, wherever I saw you.
Yeah. No, I know. Well, and we did this weekend, we did London and Glasgow, and, you know.
I saw that, yes.
And when we did it on London time, you know, so we taped at 3 p.m, and yeah, people can tune in from wherever, but I've spent 20 years traveling and playing shows, and part of what I try to build into every show is, you know, a nod to the geography and some of my memories from that location and just making it feel, you know, I think there's a tendency right now to hold one's breath and just say, well, I'm going to wait till this is over. And without knowing how long this will last, you know, I don't want to do that. I don't want my friends and family and, you know, so I think part of that is going, okay, here we are. How do we really continue to make big experiences, even though we're in, you know, a unique situation right now.
Yes. Well, I love when you show the footage of your beautiful wife and your four gorgeous daughters and just playing around. And you're so, you know, you're so honest and raw about your life. And people really relate to that. You know, I first saw you, I think, in the early 90s. No, was it?
Oh, wow.
It must have been later than 90s. It was a place in Westport, Connecticut, and it was a small club. And I think that had to be
a long time ago.
Yeah, like late 90s. And I just remember sitting in the audience thinking, this guy's got something really special, because not only are you a fantastic singer, songwriter, but you have this charisma on stage. You know, even as a young fellow there, you are connecting. And when you said that you read the names of the people who are attending your concert, boy, does that draw us in. You know, it really does. And you just have this innate way of just relating to people in general. But, you know, here you are. I mean, you're a husband, you're a father with, you know, four young girls, and you're a music man. So let me ask you this, though. Being home and being a music man, how's that going for you?
Well, first of all, thank you for the kind words. You know, and honestly, this has revealed some things about me. You know, I've been in motion for 20 years anyway, you know, and I adore my family. They're definitely, you know, the axis of my life. And yet I always felt like, well, I have to be in motion because my job demands it, and this is what I'll do. And yet, even though I've been home for all these days, you know, I'm still struggling, like so many of us, to find some semblance of balance. You know, I mean, I'm home, but I work a lot, and I'm not always, my priorities get tangled, you know, just as much as they do when I'm on the road. It's wonderful to see them every day, but I'm not sure that I'm like, it's not like, now we can finally be together. You know, there's still,
right. There's emotions. A difference. It's a difference.
Yeah. You know,
it's a shift. Yeah.
There's a forever motion in me that I cannot seem to quiet, you know? And so even when I'm sitting there, I still have to work hard to be present to it. You know, if there's things that need to be done, it's just the way I'm wired. And it's something I think about a lot.
So were you thinking of that when you were writing your book? And I'm interested in that because it says part self-help. So yeah. What is that self-help part of your book coming out next month?
Well, you know, so the book is a collection of essays about the parts of life that I have found to be the most important in my own life. So you've got relationships, you know, parents and kids and marriage, heroes, friends. And then the second half of the book is things like integrity and forgiveness and work and health and the way we spend our time, our sense of humor. Each of these is an essay. And when you sit down to, you know, you think, okay, I have some insights to share. But then you sit down and realize that for every insight you have, you know, often insights are born of huge mistakes that were made, you know, or mishaps. And so what I tried to do with this book was not to say, you know, here's what you need to do to have a perfect life. What I tried to say is, here are some things that I have found to be the case. Either by hard knocks or, you know, accident, whatever, you know, these are some things that I've learned that have helped me, and maybe they'll help you. And if they don't help you, maybe they'll at least amuse you. You know, I tried to offer enough levity to just make it a fun read, you know, not something that was painful to get through. And that was the goal. So I'm not really on a soapbox saying, here, I figured it out, this is what it is. It's more like, here's a bunch of stuff that has really made a difference in my life. And when I zoom out, you know, I'm very fortunate. I have a very good life, you know, with a lot of great things in it. So I hope to help people in some way.
Right. Well, when you're on stage and you're connecting, you know, with people, because this show really is about ways of coping. Mm-hmm. You know, my show is, and I think your show, being the music man, you're out there entertaining us and taking us out of our element and whatever that is, and providing us with, there's a grace. You have a real grace when you're on stage. It's really, I've been to many concerts in my life, being that was a field that I was in, working with many, many celebrities. And your performance is so unique in many, many ways that it's really like going on vacation and just feeling like you could breathe. And we need that. And I think hearing you speak about your book or about your life right now, there's something really important that we all need and you have, and that's resilience. Mm-hmm. And I think you're bending and flowing with what's going on right now, which really is acceptance. And to be able during these times to have a virtual show and to just bring such lightness and levity, Stephen, that is such a gift. It really is.
Thank you.
I'm glad you're on this earth. You know what? But yeah. I have to tell you, I looked at something from way back because I remember you doing this. You performed with Roseanne Cash, and you sang 100 Miles with her. And this, you know, people, if you can go on and find that and just Google that. It's a short piece, but oh my gosh, your voices blended together and that song. Have you done duets, like a CD of duets?
Yeah, I haven't. And you know, I at one point recently I did have an idea of doing that. And I may get back to it, you know. I mean, if life happens and you end up going down different roads, but it's funny you bring that one up because it really was one of my favorite duets I've ever sung. And I was playing with Roseanne and I walked in and she said, "Hey, you know that Bobby Bear Jr. song, 100 Miles?" And I said, "Yeah, sure. Yeah, totally." She said, "Let's sing it tonight." And then I quickly realized I didn't know it. And so I played my set and I ran upstairs and I just crash coursed through the song for an hour straight. Just like I got to get this. I love Roseanne. I want to do right by her. And I hadn't sung with her before. That was the first time she had suggested that. And so we went down and we did that. And one of the amazing things about that duet was she looks right into your eyes when she sings. She doesn't break eye contact, which is, you know, is really, you're really vulnerable. That is an incredible experience to just look in someone's eyes and not look away. And she does it like the legend that she is. And I'll never forget when we sang that song, it just, I immediately wasn't worried about forgetting anything. I fell into it. I fell into that particular duet in a way that is,
yes,
has stayed with me. That was, I think, 10 years ago or something that we did that one, but it's stayed with me.
Yeah. Yeah. And it shows that you fell into it when you hear it.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
I know. Yeah. I mean, the aftermath was we got such a big rendition from that that then she said, do you know Big River? And foolishly, again, I'm like, sure, yeah, because I've heard Big River a million times. I walked out and kind of blew it. And then John Leventhal, her husband, goes, yeah, you know Big River, all right, which was a little mean but also deserved. And isn't that just like life? You have one of the most soaring, beautiful, triumphant moments, and it's immediately followed by a crash and burn.
So true. Again, resilience. It didn't knock you down. You just got back up.
Yeah, you have. Well, you know, I mean, some days you do need to go. You need to say, I'm done today. I can't do anymore. This, yeah, I got to let this one go. We're going to wake up and try again tomorrow. I mean, I have days like that for sure in this process, you know?
Right. Well, that makes all the difference. And that's why there's successful people and people who get so disheartened that they give up and no, they're a little soured in life because they didn't fulfill their dream.
Right.
But you continue on. And I know there's a lot of times where it's difficult out there. Was there ever a time where you thought you're going to give this up?
I'm like, this week or just in general? Yeah. Well, yeah. No, I mean, there have been many, many times where I thought, what else can I do? You know, like, what else is there for me? Because this feels too hard, you know? I fortunately, you know, I'd married a really good friend who has often smiled politely at me and said, okay, hon, yeah, get some sleep and you let me know. But she knows that I'm never going to stop doing what I do, you know. I think my dreams changed a little bit, you know. In the beginning, I wasn't totally sure what I was chasing, some vague notion of what I thought rock stardom would be. And and yet as your life wears on and you see people who, you know, you meet rock stars who are unhappy and you meet people who stopped playing music who are happy, and you see a cross section of possibilities and you realize that you can build whatever life you want to build. And I kind of decided that it meant more to me to mean a lot to the people I was with than it did to just, I'm not saying this right, but it was more important rather than reach a lot of people as the primary goal. It was like, how deeply can we reach the people we are reaching, and how much can we mean to them and how much can we connect with them?
Yeah.
Let's start there and really root it. And that was, I probably didn't get to that place till 5 years ago or something. And that it's made the last 5 years hands down the most fulfilling 5 years of my life. And
that's great.
Age. I mean, I don't, you know, it's a lot of things, but now I speak and I write books and I do, you know, my life doesn't feel like it's tethered to one boyish dream anymore. And that's, I'm grateful for that.
Oh, it's expanded so much. When you go to StephenKellogg.com, two L's, two G's, and just read and go into your store too. Hey, is your book available in your store now?
It is. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So
keeping it, Amazon had to keep pushing back the release date. So, but we were like, we got to get this in the world. People actually have time to read right now. So yeah, we send them out from our family.
Oh, store. For sure.
Yeah.
So your book, is that the same title of your latest CD as well?
It is. The album is called Objects in the Mirror, and the book is, it has the subtitle of Thoughts on a Perfect Life from an Imperfect Person, but they are loosely related to each other.
I love that. I love that title. Aren't we all imperfect people? You know, well, before we get into that, let's take a break, and we will be back in just a few. I'll be back with Stephen Kutluck.
The one making a decision always ends up second guess. That person less decisive who believes that they know best. I wouldn't change a thing, I would make the call again. Shame on you, you could have been a friend. Now it's hard to hear the measure that was with me all the time.
Edicia is a U.S. nonprofit dedicated to the dream of ending childhood malnutrition for millions of children around the world. Through the manufacture of Plumpy Nut and other nutrient-rich, peanut-based, ready-to-use foods, Edicia has already delivered life and hope to nearly 1 million children in over 26 developing countries. To find out how you can join Edicia's dream of ending childhood malnutrition, please visit ediciaglobal.org.
Are you ready to shed those fearful, worrisome thoughts and live a more joy-filled life? From the heart of her critically acclaimed book, Starving Your Fears, author and PhD Joyce Logan is passionate about helping you to live the life you desire with wisdom, empathy, and laughter. Join Dr. Joyce on Fridays at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Eastern Time on syndicated Dream Vision 7 radio network. Starving Your Fears is all about helping each other to stop going through life white-knuckled and hanging on for dear life as we deal with so many of life's stressors. Take the journey with Joyce now and learn how to go from panic to peace in a flash.
Are you searching for a way to help create global change? Dream Vision 7 Radio Network's vision is to have an eclectic group of radio hosts dedicated to educating, enlightening, and helping humankind with positive messages and tools that enhance lives using different modalities and programs. If you would like to join our team and help illuminate the universe, call Deborah at 508-226-1723 or Deborah at dreamvision7radio.com.
Omega Institute, offering workshops, retreats, and online learning dedicated to awakening the best in the human spirit. For over 40 years, Omega has seen more than 1 million people come through its doors to grow, learn, and find a greater sense of purpose. With over 350 workshops to choose from, Omega offers something for everyone. Located in Rhinebeck, New York, just 90 miles north of New York City, Omega's natural environment and quiet pace allow for extraordinary experiences to unfold. Learn more at eomega.org or call 877-944-2002. Again, 877-944-2002.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
If what she said about me, if I believed that it were true, I'd throw myself upon the mercy of the ocean blue. But most of your critique, it doesn't sound that much like me. Though I wonder if it sounds.
Hi, welcome back. I'm Joyce Logan speaking to Stephen Kellogg, Music Man Stephen Kellogg. Is that okay if I call you a music man?
Sure. Right. Yeah. One of my hats.
You know, I think I've watched your documentary about three times.
Oh, good.
I love that documentary. And I know I saw it on your website, and I watch it on Amazon Prime.
I love
it. So if you go to Amazon Prime, it's, it's free on there if you have Amazon Prime. And, well, tell me about that. Did someone come to you and say, hey, let's do this documentary about you?
Well, you know, there's a filmmaker named Peter Harding, and I was on the road with a band that I'm friendly with called OAR, and Mark Roberge, the lead singer, said to me, "Stephen, you need like a 2-minute video that lets people know who you are, the whole picture of just like, that just educates them. So it's not just one song or whatever." He said, "I'm going to connect you with this film guy, Peter Harding, and you should hire him to do a sizzle reel or whatever." And so we reached out, and Peter, I said, "Look," and he said, "My biggest concern is this can't drag on. I'm really busy. I'm working on a film for Lucas Nelson. I'm doing this, I'm doing that." I said, "Of course, yeah." So we set out to do 2 minutes, and he said, "I'll fly in, and I'll spend 2 days here with you at your house, on the road with you, you know." So he came in and spent a couple days, and then time was dragging on a little, and I checked in, "Peter, how we doing on this?" And he said, "I'm going to send you something." And he sent me like a 8-minute kind of beginning of a long form situation. And I'm like, "This is really beautiful, but what is this?" And he's like, I can't do a 2-minute thing, man. I'm going to make a movie, and I'll pay for it." And that's what happened. And so, it was cool because obviously it's flattering to, have someone feel that your story is worth telling. And on the other side, I still don't have a 2-minute hype reel that I can offer anybody in the world. But it was very cool that Peter kind of took
that
story and told it in his way. And I didn't really see it until the screening thereafter. It was very much his project about me. But I appreciated his sort of displaying of the work. The working class musician, the person in between household name and starving artist, you know?
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
But, and the reason why I said, is it okay if I call you a music man, is because you're so much more than that. I mean, you're an author and you're a storyteller, you know, and I did mention to you once before that I think of you as the genius of Dylan, although you're relatable, approachable. It's and you just have all these different nuances about you. So I didn't want to label you just
very kind, Joyce. You're my wife is gonna find me intolerable after this.
She knows this already.
She'll be like, "What did Joyce tell you that's making you so smug today?"
It's the truth. I always speak the truth.
I like it. So, well, it's your.
I mean, I was so excited to have you on because, you know, we've spoken before, but never in depth. That I really wanted to get into, you know, like when you started this, how you started this. But I came to the realization, I don't know, I think you have too, that you're not, well, how can I put this? It's like, it's not your job to go out there and to create music, and this is what you do, and this is my job. It's who you are.
Yeah.
It's you. You can't, so you may say, "Hey, what should I entertain doing? Because we all do that, especially creative people. But you can't leave that because that's your essence, correct?
Yeah. It sort of chooses you.
And it's a calling.
Yeah, you know, yeah. And I realized that because I did try to, you know, I grew up in the suburbs, and one of the things we love to do to young people in the suburbs is ask them questions like, "Well, what are you really going to do?" Or, you know, "That's a tough living." It's like folks will find out soon enough what's tough. But what's really tough as a living is to do something that you don't enjoy or that doesn't feed your soul. And sometimes you have to, but you don't really need anybody to tell you that. That's just kind of how life goes sometimes. And so I spent a fair amount of time, I think, thinking, well, I shouldn't really do this. I didn't feel like I had an obvious talent enough. It was like, okay, I'm good at this, but I don't know if I'm great at this. And then I just realized probably around the age of 25 that I didn't have a choice and I better get going because I really, it was the only way I was going to be tolerable to be around or have anything to offer in the world if I just did the thing that spoke to me every day and night. And, you know, that was almost 20 years ago, and I'm glad I got to it when I did, you know.
I'm glad you did too. You know, one of my favorite songs is, I have quite a few, Galaxy.
Galaxy. Yeah, I just played that. I played that two nights ago. I don't play it very often live, but every time I play it, it gets to me, and it undoes me in the best way.
Gets to me.
Yeah.
Even Love of My Life, High Highs, Low Lows. What was I going to say? The from your CD, Objects in the Mirror, Last Man Standing, all that old family footage. That's remarkable.
Yeah, I know.
That's
amazing.
That's like a hauntingly beautiful song. There's something really different about that one.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, that was the beginning of we really started recording these songs live, which is a bit of a rarity in this day and age, because you do have so many capabilities to tinker with stuff in post-production that, you know, but Last Man Standing was sort of the beginning of like, let me just sing the song and let that be what exists. Because I think that that's the best for me, as a particular artist, without any judgment on what other people do. This is the truest version of what I'm about. So let's do it that way. And that was a turning point in that sense.
And how long did it take you to pull that old family footage together? Did you have that accessible?
Oh, no. It's like everything. You hunt around on computers. You know, I mean, Peter would contact me and say, like, hey, do you have this kicking around or that kicking around? And you'd kind of, in your mind's eye, know that it existed somewhere, but who knows where, you know? I mean, just your computer dies, you get a new one, and you realize that you stranded 9 years of memories on there and managed to not print out but two photos, you know?
Right.
And as much as I want to archive it all, I also find life demands your attention. So you kind of, it's a dance that we all do right now. Digging up footage, there is stuff that exists that I couldn't find that I wish I could. But in some cases, we were able to unearth some stuff that really fit what was being conveyed. And
it tied in beautifully.
Yeah.
Beautifully.
Yeah.
So if people, you know, everyone, StephenKellogg.com, and it's Stephen PH and
yes.
Kellogg, two L's, two G's. Go there because you'll find a lot of interesting things. And I love that this is turned into a real family business, hasn't it? Where your wife and your girls are helping out in the store.
Oh, yeah. I mean, my 7-year-old the other night, she goes, Dad, can I have a break? We look at the clock. It's 10:30 at night. I was like, yes, honey, you can go to bed now.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, but it's really fun. You know, like you realize – I would have never said when I grow up, I want to have a little family business. But I have to say, you know, filling packages for people and knowing, you know, like it's busy work, but it's good for my soul. It's kind of it's a meditation unto itself. It's like it's really pretty much more fulfilling than I would have ever suspected, you know.
And you offer something unique. Do you write a song for people?
It's something we've done, like when we were fundraising to do the album and the book. You know, for years I was on labels, and I haven't been for the last 4 or 5 years. So the last couple projects that we've done, we will fundraise for it by offering different things. And one of the things I offered on the last, it was a higher end offering, but it was where I would get on, talk to someone for an hour or so, ask them a ton of questions and really try to hear their story and then write a song about it. And I know myself well enough that I wasn't really, you know, we made clear at the beginning, like, I'm not really taking input you don't like, we're going to talk and you're going to tell me the story, but if you trust me that I'm going to get to the heart of what I think is here, then this could be a package for you. And I ended up doing six of those, which really helped me make the record and got some pretty amazing songs out of it. We got some really cool songs that I wouldn't have written, you know.
That's fantastic. And I love that your whole family is involved, because so many times with performers, you go out on the road and those lives become very separate. And I don't think that's really healthy. You know, let's just say if it's a man and a woman and the man is out on the road, the wife is home tending to the kids, and no one's very involved. And I think that has broken up many marriages. And I like that you're all in this together.
Very much. You know, the one thing I would say about that is it's another area that I don't know if people realize exists to the degree that it does. But for whatever reason, my career, I've built so many friends around me who do have good marriages and good family lives, even though they're on the road. And, you know, my wife teases me about it, but sometimes when I'm home too long, she's like, don't you have a tour to go do or something? You know? And I think, you know, you have to kind of look at what's going to work for the couple and the family. And, you know, you can't leave for months on end. But I think if you know that someone, if this is what they're born to do, and you know, you sort of support each other in those ways, and it really can work. It takes a certain amount of effort and a certain thing, but it's also made me appreciate when I am home.
Mm.
You know, I feel like that's the trick, is now I'm home all the time and I'm present at about the same ratio as when I was on the road, because the work still has to be done. And I hope that my girls grow up knowing that sometimes you got to go to work, and sometimes I say goodbye, not because I enjoy saying goodbye, but because this is what I have to do. This is what I was put here to do, and I'm going to go do it, you know, and I know they'll do that when their time comes too. And I just think it's important to note that too, because the road has broken up marriages, but it's also, you know, it's I've seen it work.
I always thought absence does make the heart grow fonder. And I love in your documentary when you say that as you get closer to your house, like your heart starts beating faster and, you know, you just like, you can't wait to get there.
Well, how many of us take our spouses for granted? You know, how often do we, until something happens, you know, someone sprains an ankle and you realize all the stuff they've been doing, you know, that you suddenly, and it's like, there's just so many ways we can take each other for granted. And yet when you are apart and have a moment to process and miss each other, you really can, you can build on that, you know, you really can.
Yes, you can.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back with Stephen Kellogg.
There's some things you never get over, whatever your parents say. First on my list of these three things is the sight of my father walking away. Next on my list will be heaven. I already know what it's like.
Are you ready to shed those fearful, worrisome thoughts and live a more joy-filled life? From the heart of her critically acclaimed book, Starving Your Fears, author and PhD Joyce Logan is passionate about helping you to live the life you desire with wisdom, empathy, and laughter. Join Dr. Joyce on Fridays at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Eastern Time on syndicated Dream Vision 7 radio network. Starving Your Fears is all about helping each other to stop going through life white-knuckled and hanging on for dear life as we deal with so many of life's stressors. Take the journey with Joyce now and learn how to go from panic to peace in a flash.
Are you ready to live your wow life now? Then tune in on Wednesdays at 11 a.m. and 11 p.m. Eastern Time for Wealth of Wellness with Gina Rota, intuitive numerologist, spiritual advisor, life coach, and co-author Chaos to Clarity. Gina offers the listeners empowering insights, educational, inspirational tools, and universal wisdom while exploring and discovering the miraculous, mystical, and spiritual principles of life. Are you ready to get your wow on? Then join Gina as she shares how to embrace the true wealth of wellness on syndicated Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
Delight your kids with an enchanting journey by reading the Paper Doll Kids children's book by Deborah Beauvais and Janine Sullivan. There's even a catchy tune, Kids for Love Song, produced by Bob Sherwood and sung by kids just like yours. The story weaves around seven paper dolls flying around the world doing good deeds as they bring important attention to our endangered animal friends. There's even a magical ring with a universal message. Kids become interested in service projects, action through compassion, and planting seeds that nurture positive change. The Paper Doll Kids and Kids for Love Song are a production of the Kids for Love Project. Get the book now on Amazon Kindle and the song on CD Baby or iTunes.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
Figure it out if you can. There's one thing on earth no one can touch. It's the sleep of a satisfied man. Oh, the sleep of a satisfied man. I don't know why I love the leaving. It's not from lack of loving you. But you can't remember when you stopped breathing, and I can't remember it too. I'm coming home tomorrow, and I wanted you to know that the part of me that can make you smile is the same part that needed to go. The thing that nobody tells you.
Welcome back to Joyce Logan and Starving Your Fears. And today we're starving our fears and getting rid of them with Stephen Kellogg. He is a music man and author. Great storyteller. I think storyteller, music man is kind of the same thing, Stephen. What do you think?
I think so, you know, but it's an interesting distinction, Joyce, because I realized not all that long ago that music, while I like it, I don't necessarily love music the way other professional musicians love it. What I love is the storytelling, is the connecting with people. And so in that sense, I think that there's a distinction that can be made there, because it's not the playing the guitar and the singing that keeps me doing this year after year. It's the opportunity to share a story or say, here's what I think, you know?
Mm-hmm. Boy, so, isn't that's great that you can do that. you can get your voice out there in a great way and get your message across as well.
Yeah.
Do you have a universal message, you know, that...
I think that there is something that I'm trying to articulate, yes. But I often hesitate to lock in what it is because it's evolves every day, you know? And sometimes people want me to talk about things that I, at that moment, that don't have anything to say, you know, about it. Like I am, because I just, and that's, I'm never sort of on this one thing, like, here's my mission and this is what I have to say. But what about during
a tough time, like now, you know, does it make you want to inspire people more, or do you feel, you know, getting dragged down and like, oh, I don't know if I could write today?
That's a great question. And the answer is that I feel both. I feel like these shows that I'm doing have never felt more important than they do right now. I know yes. that people are hurting and people need a sense of belonging and a sense of, you know, love has to be, you know, at the center of everything right now. And so I take these shows really seriously in that sense of what can I bring to the table? And at the same time, I feel it's almost impossible some days to get in and write because we haven't processed anything. We're going through such an upheaval on so many fronts. And for all my empathy and love, I also have a lot of anger. You know, I'm angry about a lot of things right now. Mm-hmm. And I don't feel like that's my contribution to humanity. So I wrestle with that every day. Sometimes it just leaks out of my pores and I can't help it. But I also, and I'm not suppressing it. I'm just, there are things that I don't talk about right now because I'm not sure I have anything that's going to make it better in any way by me just spouting off and spewing, you know, what I'm angry about. So I'm trying to channel this into useful things that are going to make things better and not worse. And meanwhile, you know, the world has its own timetable. You know, people write yes. me, I'm disappointed, Stephen, you haven't talked about this or that. It's like, they can be disappointed all they want, but I'm just a human too, over here yeah, trying to figure course. This out, you know? So,
listen, I can tell you, everyone, firsthand, that your concerts, your virtual concerts now are of mental health value, truly. We need that.
I had a person, though, from a mental health organization yesterday call me a four-letter word on Twitter.
Why?
Because they didn't like something that I said. It wasn't a political comment. It wasn't related to much, you know, and they just said, you know, I don't know why you need to be such a blank, you know, with this. And it was kind of like, I don't begrudge them their opinion, but I, of course, because I can't, you know, resist, I look to see who is this person that's responding. Are they just some bot or what? And sure enough, they were from a mental health organization. And I thought, wow, they must be having an awful day. Like, they must be right. in an awful place, you know?
Right.
And
right.
so I didn't want to just fight with them because it zaps everybody's energy. So I just, you know, I wish them well, but people can, you know, I would never relish the loss of a fan, but these are amazing times. I mean, you can't say anything without, you know, there's blowback on everything you do or don't do, and it's very tricky to exist as a human with a frail and fragile and vulnerable but also strong heart, you know?
Exactly, especially if you're you know, sympathetic, you know, an empath in any way. You feel it. But I think the key is put your blinders on, do what you do best, and you can't listen to that because social media is great in one way. And in the other way, you're always going to have major critics. So, yeah, not everyone's going to be a fan of every one of us. So we just have to go do what we do and kind of turn off the comments in our mind.
Yeah.
Don't let that, you know, sideline you in any way, because you are performing way more mental health benefits than if I could just sit here or maybe turn on the TV and yeah. watch whatever. It's a different level, I guess, what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
Because you are live on there and you are talking to us. And to have that kind of engagement is what we need now, because we're not getting that now.
Yeah.
I can't even begin to really express it fully in words, because it's an experience that you have to experience. So what shows are coming up?
Well, we have a couple of big shows this week, you know, that are sort of the grand finale of the traditional shows we've been doing, you know. we've been writing a different show each week. And so I do the Boston show on Tuesday, you know, Boston in quotes, the New York show on Wednesday. We have really tremendous special guests on those shows. And then I start doing something where I'm going to be playing different albums of mine from beginning to end and just sharing the stories behind the songs and the making of the records. And so we have a bunch more through June and a family set that we're going to do too. That's a little more geared towards some of these. They're always family friendly for the most part, but I, you know, we're actually going to do one in the day in a couple weeks for younger folks who, you know, who play some of the stuff that speaks to that generation, that demographic a little bit. And then we're going to take July off and process, you know, it won't be off, but we're just going to like take one step back and see, okay, like what's next now, you know, and what do we do next after this?
Right.
Got, I think, about 8 more shows in June, and then we're going to evaluate and see what the next move is.
You know, and before we close, I want to address something about the Armed Forces Award that you received. I know I saw you online somewhere performing, and I couldn't find anything. Where were you performing? For the troops.
We did. I mean, I've done quite a few tours. I've been to the Middle East many times. I've been to bases in Europe and then obviously places like Walter Reed. And I just felt like I wouldn't have made a good military man. So I felt like this was, I just wanted to, you know, there's a big time commitment that the armed forces men and women give and politics aside. It's just, I think it's important to recognize that it's mostly good, you know, mostly a lot of people trying to do the right thing and trying to, and I have always made that part of our annual diet to just go do those shows and bring an apolitical sense of like home to them, wherever they're stationed, you know?
And when you went to the Middle East, did you have any fear?
Not really. They do a lot to protect you. I mean, I was afraid we landed on an aircraft carrier, like Top Gun style, and I was afraid I would make a fool of myself and throw up as soon as I got off or something, because I'm not – for a guy who travels as much as I do, I'm a bit of a queasy traveler. So it was more like that was more of a fear. And quite honestly, you know, there are places in the Middle East where you realize what it really, truly is to be a minority, you know, and that's not a bad lesson for everyone to have at some point in their life, because it opens your eyes to, you know, just to things that you might not otherwise think about, but probably should. You know,
right?
Yeah,
that had to change you. I mean, every experience changes us in little ways, but you know, that had to spark some other feelings within you, and ultimately even change a little bit, and maybe what you wrote about after that.
I think so, and I think with having 4 daughters, which we never found out beforehand, they were all just like, here's another
surprise.
Oh. And
you're
by the
so fourth, lucky.
Oh, I am so lucky.
You are.
So lucky. And they are fierce. They are fierce young women who are going to grow up to do whatever they're going to do. I'm not putting stuff on them. I love watching who they're becoming in the world. And I know that without some of those trips that I took, you know, I know that I would not, they would not be on the trajectory that they're on were it not for the things that I was able to learn from some of those military trips. So,
and I think most daughters tend to take care of their daddies even later on in life. So I think
so. That would be nice. I'd be happy if they just, I just hope there's a part of me that is so big fat Greek wedding. Like every time a house comes up on the market near us, I'm like, I wish we could get that house for them. We could have a compound, and
yes. They yes, you should have a compound, Stephen.
They're
yes.
They're like, I don't think so, Dad. I don't think that's going to happen. So, you know.
Yeah, then maybe one day they will. Look at the legacy you're leaving them. I mean, they've got, you know, videos about them. They've been part of your show. And, hey, yeah, that's a... Could be like the Osmond family later on.
I just hope they never view it as a burden. You know, I don't know. I think that we all try our best with our kids, but you know, it is there. It'll be for them to decide, I guess, how good a job I did or did not do. You know,
well, you were surrounded by five strong women all the time in your house. I'm sure.
That's true. They're working on me more than I'm working on them. They're like, we're gonna make a good man of you yet.
Oh, what a great life. Stephen, it's been such a pleasure having you on my show, and I hope everyone will check out StephenKellogg.com because that's where everything is, your store, your book. I can't wait to read your book.
I can't wait, too. I'll send it to you. I need your address so that I get your address after this so I can send you a copy. But I have loved talking to you, and I think
it's
a cool show, and I'm really honored to be on here.
Oh, I'm the one who's honored to have you on. Truly, truly, truly blessed. Everyone, Stephen Kellogg, please go to his website, StephenKellogg.com, and you'll find his CDs and his store and everything about him. Probably pictures of your kids. Are they on there, Stephen?
There probably are, even though I probably shouldn't be, but yeah, it's everything but our social security numbers is there.
It's a family store, and this is a great ending to our show. So thank you so much. Thank you, everyone, for listening. I love you all, and until we meet again.
Listen in next time to Starving Your Fears with radio host Joyce Logan, PhD, on Fridays at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Eastern Time on syndicated Dream Vision 7 radio network. Take the journey with Joyce and learn how to go from panic to peace in a flash. With over 30 years' experience in training, working with those with anxiety and panic attacks, she has tools to share with you to change your life. Starving Your Fears is all about helping each other to stop going through life white-knuckled and hanging on for dear life as we deal with so many of life's stressors. To work with Joyce or ask a question, email Joyce at joycelogan.com or go to joycelogan.com. That's Joyce, LOGAN.com.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.